Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, Juco. Above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast. 5 stars.
It's a choice.
Welcome back to the Crab Feast, y'all. It's another Tuesday.
Another Crab Feast for that ass.
Good to see you, Jay Larson.
Sickle cell.
That was some pitch touching on you right there, man.
You know I touch them. April, man, it's a whole new vibe. You know what I mean? It's a whole new vibe for me. Feaster Nation, where you at? I am at Jay Larson Comedy, jlarsoncomedy.com. I'm Jay Larson Comedy pretty much everything across the board.
Was that Gil Larson?
Yeah, just a little... My Jason Galern / Jay Larson combination. As some of you know, I had a baby and I'm shooting best bars, so I haven't been doing much stand-up. But have no fear, I am back in May. Sickle Cell and I will both be at the Bridgetown Comedy Festival in Portland,
yes,
the 8th through the 11th, doing a live...
Of May.
Of May, yep. I said May.
Did you?
Well, don't worry about it.
Anything.
And we'll be doing a live Crab Feast there. We're excited about that, and we'll be doing stand-up as well. In June, I'm back. I have tons of shows in L.A. I have them on my website, or they will be. And then I'll be at the Arlington Draft House in D.C. the 6th and 7th of June. So come on out to that. Sickle Cell.
I am Ryan Sickler on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, ryansickler.com. Something I want to tell the Feasters about that we are both very fired up about.
What's that, Ryan?
We, as the Crab Feast, are making an appearance on the Pete Holmes Show tomorrow night. That's right, man.
Excited.
Our boy Pete Holmes, thank you very much. Had us on the Crab, or had us on the Crab Feast. Had the Crab
he
Feast.
Had it. He's hosting now, man.
On the Pete Holmes Show, and it airs tomorrow night after Conan, so set your DVRs. Make
TBS,
sure you record it.
It's a lot of fun. If you're not watching the show, you should totally. It's a lot of fun.
It's a great show. Great show. We're super excited and fired up to be on it.
Pete will be hurting Linda all day.
All day. Tomorrow, Linda's getting hurt, guys. All day. I'm at Meltdown Comics on April 23rd here in Los Angeles, and as Jay told you guys, super fired up to do stand-up and a live Crab Feast podcast at the Bridgetown Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Any and all Crab Feast info, go to thecrabfeast.com. Thank you guys for tearing up the new merch. You're looking good out there in your UPS shirts and your alternate T-shirts and colors and whatnot.
I'd like to see you guys personalizing that shit.
Amazon, you guys crush it every month. Thank you so much. You're the greatest. And if you're on Facebook, just get it over with. Just go over and like the goddamn
page.
Just like, you don't have to post on it. Just like the damn thing. Thank you for continuing the, phenomenal iTunes five star reviews.
Mm-hmm. And as always, you know, thanks for telling friends. So many people, every now and then, you know, we're getting tweets saying, hey, new listener, catching up, listen to 30 in a row.
Yeah.
My wife divorced me, but we appreciate all the new listeners out there. And for everyone who's been a longtime listener, telling friends, we greatly appreciate you guys.
Yes, you can get us on other places like Stitcher. You can get that. We started putting a new player
we got
on
a new
website.
Player. I hope you guys are
right
using
there.
That.
Yep. And there's,
you know, the bottom line is, I saw the Zune and it opened up my eyes. I saw the Zune.
What was that? Ace of Base? Who was that?
I think that might have been
the sign. I saw the signs or some shit.
Saw the sign. Yeah.
GoDaddy is offering one newer transfer.com domain name for $1.99. Go to thecrabfeast.com and click that damn GoDaddy banner today.
Take advantage. We're taking advantage of you, of our next guest. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give a warm welcome for a longtime listener, first-time guest, Mr. Brian Moot. Welcome to Crab Feast.
Welcome to the Crab Feast, Brian.
Guys, it's an honor. It's a real honor.
I hope a lot of people didn't think I talked like that. Hey, guys, it's a real... They're like, just no.
They're already tuned out.
Just go back to one of the Brant Tobler episodes.
Yeah, so interesting. But, well, before we explain all that stuff, why don't you please promote Brian Moot away?
Follow me on Twitter, @MootPoints. MOTE points.
It's a very good Twitter handle.
Thanks, man.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like I had to take it because it moots such an awful name with puns, and yeah. I'm heavily anti pun. But
is there another Brian? Did you try for? Don't lie to us. Did you try for Brian Moot first?
No, Brian Moot still exists.
No, someone has
even
that.
Want it.
Yeah, oh, really? No, nobody wants it.
No, Brian Moots want that. Or no, yeah, none of them. There's three.
They
of
all
us.
Meet on weekends. Like,
you know what's funny? I've been emailed by all of them.
Have you really?
Yeah, they're weird.
To sell it?
No, one dude emailed me once. He's from Ontario, and he couldn't get a job. This is like 3 years ago. He couldn't get a job, and he was like, "Hey, Brian Moot, this is the unfunny Brian Moot. Hey, I can't get a job right now, and I'm wondering if it's because people are Googling me and seeing all your stand-up videos." And I was like, "Oh, great, really? You're trying to say
this guy's talking shit? He can't get a job."
I'm like, "You're trying to say that I can't get myself a real job and you a real job? Like, I'm just locking up the Brian
Moot?
Man,
seriously,
I just came from HR, and you're fucking this shit up for both of us.
Sorry, man. You mean all my rape bits I got online right now?
I had a guy." Do you have Google alerts for your name?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, me too. And I got one today. I'm sitting there and I was about to make a joke. I was at an audition and I was about to be like, "Excuse me, guys, just got a Google alert. No big deal." And I looked down and it was some other Jay Larson got promoted to like senior vice president of this like corporation.
A crab feast. You just got promoted to senior VP at a crab feast.
Some other dude.
I'm SVP of my podcast, man.
I always get excited when like a Google alert comes up. I'm like, what have I done?
I have mine set because for a while when my dad was going through his prison stuff, people were ripping me.
Just like that, huh?
Yeah.
While my dad was going through his prison stuff.
I feel like
it
came up organically because that's why I have my Google alerts is because people used to destroy me in the local press where I grew up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, let's get into that.
The local press. It's like Marie down at the 5 and 9. Been talking shit for weeks.
The All Eagle Gazette is ripping me apart, man. You gotta knock this shit off. It was the Woodby Record.
W-O-U-L-B?
W-H-I-D-B-E-Y.
Widdeby Record.
Oh, Widdeby.
How many people on the island?
60,000.
The island?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I grew up on an island.
Where are you from?
Whidbey Island, Washington, y'all.
What's up, Whidbey?
Yeah.
So, you gave us your Twitter, Moot Points.
Moot Points.
You have a website, anything else you'd like to promote?
March 28th to the 30th, I will be at the Tacoma Comedy Club recording a new CD.
Fantastic.
Boom.
So if you're out in Tacoma, go support them.
Yeah, come through.
So wait a minute, is Whidbey Island have a bridge or are you ferry?
It's got a bridge on the north end that goes up near Canada, and then you got to catch a ferry from the south end, which is like 45 minutes north of Seattle. It's awful. It's the worst. Ferries ruined my life as a kid. I hated them.
Is there a college there?
Huh? No, like a junior college somewhere.
First of all, you know? Don't just...
Yeah. It's not even... Okay, easy.
How to get a ferry over to my JUCO, man.
Oh, God.
I'm juggling all the way
across. It wasn't even the main campus. We had a branch. We had a satellite branch.
Yeah, imagine. On
satellite branch. So easy. We didn't have a soccer field.
All right, so wait a second. No matter what you wanted... Obviously, the only way to leave was ferry. No bridge.
Yeah, the bridge is on the north end, but the bridge just went into like...
Only. Okay.
Up near Bellingham and Canada... It's like, I don't know, you could go that way if you wanted to, but that was like an hour drive for us, so we just catch this ferry.
How long is the ferry?
About 20 minutes.
You drive your car on.
Yeah,
what does it cost?
Let me guess.
$26.
Hold on a second. I'm going to guess too.
Okay, you go.
I know you're wrong now.
Yeah, sorry.
But I don't know which way
it's
to go.
$45.
I'm going to go $42.50.
Oh, man, you guys shot it way high.
Oh, really?
It's all $9.50 each direction.
He said expensive. $9.50.
Okay, listen. But
bro,
if you
I got that
go,
on me right now.
Hey, listen. Not everybody's,
I got enough money for a fair and a soda, man.
Not everybody's big fancy show business, you know, big timer. So we got some blue collar loggers up there.
I understand.
Some folks who, you know, $20 round trip is a
there is a lot
dent
of logging up there.
And that's, I mean, is there any kind of fast pass or some shit you can get?
No,
you
know, nothing. They don't
week?
Care. Every, nope.
So
nah.
If you every day have to go somewhere else, there's no fucking bargain on that
$20 round trip.
Damn.
Nope. You can walk across and then roll the dice on a bus or something.
Yeah.
If you want.
So then would you say that
roll the dice
you
on a
stayed
bus.
On the See, island a lot? Or did you get off the island a lot?
And when I was in high school, we tried to get off as much as we could, but growing up.
Hold on a second. They call it off island.
Off the island, man.
Oh, is that really?
We go to town. Go to town is what we call it.
There's no other. Hold on. Are there restaurants and whatnot on the island?
Yeah, we had a Dairy Queen.
You had a DQ?
Yeah, man.
Man, they make a good cheeseburger over DQ.
We had a Dairy Queen, and then these hippies protested the McDonald's, so we never got the McDonald's. I was so mad. I wanted
it
to
never
murder.
Came on the island?
No. Well, no, it didn't.
So you had to pay $20 just to get to a McDonald's.
Yeah, I didn't even like to get a Happy
already,
Meal. $20. Happy Meal is $23.50 or whatever.
You're already
it is.
$20 in the hole, man.
Yeah, it was. It's not Whidbey Island's a weird place. It's just full of a lot of old retirees and then loggers and some Boeing commuters because you can walk across and they catch a bus to Boeing.
Okay. Do you know what the population is now or was?
60,000.
It's 60,000.
He said that already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm ish.
Rise off his game today,
Emma.
Just, it's early. It's early in the game.
Just, we just started.
Yeah.
He was firing off so much information at the top, I was really focused on trying to get your Twitter and shit. You still haven't given a website or anything, for Christ's sake.
It's smootcomedy.com.
Did he do that?
Well, the website's down, man. Website's down.
404. Air.
I didn't know Jay was going to hit me with the Google alerts right out the gate.
Hey, I just, you know.
Some of us do it for show business reasons. Some of us do it for legal ones.
All right. So you have rapid fired a lot of stuff off, and I want to hear all of it. So let's begin at the beginning. Why don't you? We know where you're from now.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about your family and growing up. We already know your dad is in prison or doing prison
we'll
time.
He's
get to that.
He's not going anywhere. He's still got time.
Let's just lead up. I feel like we just jumped in on like a Goodfellas movie. Bam, here, and now we're going to go back.
It is reconstruct the story. My mom raised horses on Whidbey Island, so I grew up on a horse farm. Super rural. I only realize now how redneck my hometown is. Like, we used to just drive around. Kids had guns in their cars, and that was totally...
At what age?
Shotguns?
Like, high school. Yeah, shotguns. Yeah. Under the seat. Like, we would just go after school. We'd just go out and, like, blast stuff in the woods. Or people drive by and just shoot holes in signs.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just...
I've seen stop signs that have shotgun holes up.
Yeah, that was literally 16-year-olds driving around with guns in their cars.
So how many, like... There's a police station, obviously, on the island.
Yeah, sheriff's department.
Sheriff.
Yeah, we got sheriffs.
There actually is no police, so they got to come over on the ferry.
It literally was
got
like...
20 minutes to commit a crime.
Is he beating you right now? Listen, we can't get there.
We're coming, motherfucker.
And the great part is if you pass by somebody pulled over on the side of the road, you're like, oh, I got a free pass.
We got the North Bridge closed off, man.
The only one, Sheriff Brinkman. He's already busy right now.
Really, is that his name?
Officer Brinkman. Yeah, he was our DARE officer.
Yeah, of course.
Officer he was Brinkman. Every officer. Mm-hmm. He was every guy.
We actually crushed his dreams in eighth grade. We were the first, my class was the first DARE class. So in fifth, sixth, seventh grade, we were doing all this DARE awareness stuff. Then our eighth grade graduation party, everyone came over to my house, and somebody brought a bunch of Black Label whiskey, and like two of my buddies had alcohol poisoning. And
whoa,
yeah, it was awful. I mean, they're throwing up everywhere. We didn't know, like, we didn't know you could die.
I dare you to drink this.
We just heard like
DARE program. They were on.
We were ready to
dare
do
you
it.
Do another one.
And Brinkman showed up. He was the first cop on the scene. And we just looked in his eyes like,
oh, man.
3 years gone down the drain for Brinkman. Whoops.
Poor Brinkman, man.
Yeah, we did it hard.
I feel for him. He showed up.
I don't know what he does now.
He probably got fired.
Well, yeah.
Definitely not part of the DARE program.
No.
I remember our school had, what else is it? MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, at prom time. You know, they would always
Come out.
Emphasize. No, they wouldn't come. Well, they...
Don't they usually come out and do like a big sob story, like tell you everybody in the auditorium, and then everyone sits there making fun of them.
Look at this
sob story. Kids dying.
Here she comes again about her son who died.
Compassion.
Put up a guardrail.
No, what they would do is, they may have, I know DARE came in, I know the state police came in, talked drugs and everything, but the one thing I really remember that MAD did was probably homecoming and prom, more prom probably, but they would get a fucking wrecked, destroyed, mangled car from the junkyard, and they would put that shit right on the lawn in front of the high school, and they would tell us that kids did die in this car, and we were like, Jesus Christ.
They would
hammering that home, man.
They would do it at our school, the same exact thing, except they would, this kid, Jake Anderson, who's in my school, his dad owned the funeral home, they get a corpse, throw right in.
Whoa.
Like, this dude just, this is the guy.
Well,
he's
I got
dead.
Good news for you, man.
Damn. Jake Anderson,
get your ass out of here.
Bring
that dead ass corpse out here with you. The homecoming one.
Yeah, I actually looked like, was he coming out?
Put him in a tux.
They did a thing like that in my school, too, but they had the drama department, like, act out a scene. And then we would just turn it into, like, we would just be sitting there like, oh, look at Amy Smith overacting again.
Overacting again
because her husband is dead.
God.
You know, we were just dicks, man. My friends were just like literally, it was like we were just running from cops all weekend, just throwing M80s out the window,
the one guy
blowing up mailboxes. Yeah, just
see, we did that a lot too. We used to go. I probably have told this before, but we were dicks too at times. And there was one kid that was just
a lot of time,
and there was just one kid that was an asshole. I probably wasn't an asshole, but he was an asshole. Probably an asshole because everybody fucked with him, but. And I don't mean bully, so don't anybody get on me. Like, this was just a kid that fucked with you, so you fucked back. But we would always take M80s, and we would put them in his mailbox. And I mean,
that poor kid.
Three M80s. I mean, this is a federal offense.
All right.
Three M80s in that fucking mailbox. And I mean, it would blow, like, the sides up and the back off. And we'd be like, oh my God. And then, of course, they'd come running out, and, you know, we're peeling away laughing and shit. But we did it. I mean, not just us. A bunch of people in the school did it so often that finally they just nailed a 5-gallon white bucket to the post with the open end out. It was like, just put our mail on that. They got sick of replacing their mail.
We blew out the back window of my minivan that I bought when my first car was this old 86 Dodge
Chrysler.
Dodge.
That's like
that
the first minivan.
Yeah. And
they still use that seat in the back of the Cherokee. I promise you that. That original minivan seat is still back there.
Yeah, the one that just landed that could fold down. That
it's just cushion and like sits up. That's it. Yeah.
So we were, my buddy, we were blowing up mailbox all the time. Phone booths too. Those were, man, we hit a lot of those.
Phone booths.
Because you could just split it like a banana peel. Just
with M80s?
I'd do like an M100 on those.
I never fuck with an M100.
But we had one night we were blowing up someone's mailbox and, my buddy lit the fuse and they didn't know if he lit it, you know, cause it like it goes out for a second and then it fires up again. Oh, yeah. He's like, I'm like, did you get it? He's like, I don't know, hold on. Did you get it? Go, go, go! And I start driving and it blew the mailbox door through the back window of my car.
The like flag's in my neck, man!
Yeah.
The flag's in my neck!
We had somebody's burnt bills in the back of my car.
Shot.
I was like,
even empty it.
I was like, bro, you left the mail in there? He's like, well, I noticed it after I lit the fuse. I'm like, well.
What did he do? Light it like way too close?
Yeah, and then just.
And then had to go.
Yeah,
huh?
So then we had a piece of plywood just tied onto the side of the car. For like, the couple years I had it. Yeah,
fucking
I'm
white fix trash, window.
Sure. That's how we rolled.
Of course, I had a Chrysler LeBaron convertible that I bought off this family in the town over.
What color?
It was like maroon. It was nice.
Wine. I think there's like three colors of cars
said
back in the 80s.
Nice.
Beige, maroon, and like blue.
Exactly.
Some weird blue.
This is the 89 Turbo. Turbo still worked. It was
had the nice looking rims.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I went to my buddy's house. When I bought it, the two back windows, the little tiny ones, you know what I mean? They were up. When I was going to pick up my buddy. So we had the top down and all the windows were up. And then we rolled down the back window just to say what's up. And he comes diving into the back seat and smashed the back right window.
Just shattered it off.
Gone. And then I tried to get it replaced. And the guy, I got it replaced, you know. But the window would just drop down. It would never stay up after that.
Did it break when it would drop in?
No, it would just be fine. Oh. But that's when I had to use a pillow person in the wintertime and stick it in there.
Jam it in.
That's right.
That was my window.
We had we used to destroy cars all the time. I worked at this wrecking yard with my first job. This wrecking
Me too,
yard.
Yeah.
Yeah,
nice.
It's great.
Jesus Christ. Cut from the same cloth.
Yeah,
as this
man.
Kid.
That's just total redneck. Just runs in our blood.
Called auto salvage. Salvage yard.
Ours was a straight recycle center, so we would just get these things and just beat them to shit.
I bet, yeah.
And then we could take them for a couple days if we wanted to, because they were just the guys.
There was no
care.
Law where you lived.
Bang them up. Lived in the Wild West.
Did you, Did you have, I don't know what I was going to say. You guys had those cars. What was I going to say? I don't know. Forget it. Just went quick.
One of the days.
You know how quick that happened?
Brand new dad.
I'm like, he's tired.
That's right.
Is my child alive?
He's fine. The best day I ever worked at that place, they busted this, meth lab. On the south end of the island near where I lived, and they had like 36 cars that needed to get repoed and,
they had 36?
I mean, the meth people, they hoard everything, right? Yeah. And these cars didn't work.
Oh, they were just,
all busted cars. Yeah, yeah, just, and,
long
full
harmless.
Of garbage. Yeah, you know? My buddy and I are like our second week working there. They showed us how to use the flatbed tow.
Yeah.
And we just went down and hauled out all 36 cars after we rummaged through them looking for knives.
You find anything good?
Looking for knives.
Yeah, we were just
the same thing.
Yeah, we were just meth dealers. We're like, they got to have something cool in here. It was just all garbage. Nothing? You never found anything cool.
Mm-hmm. The nasty. Okay, I found.
Because I went through it at fucking 2 in the morning. Like,
well, also, Also, the DEA went through it because they're the ones who busted this whole lab.
Right, yeah, so that's just wiped.
Yeah, they cleaned it over looking for evidence.
They got all the knives.
But if we would have had, if we had found a knife, we would have kept it. It probably would have been some murder weapon from something.
We found old school false teeth, a full set at the time. It just felt, because back then, you know
full
what
set,
I mean?
Capillaries and everything?
Full fucking set. Eye teeth and everything on it, man.
Jeez.
Bicuspids were on it. But it was, you know, the gums and everything. You know what I mean? Like old school, the chatter kind that the old people in the movies will push out with their teeth.
They have like
and
a wind up piece on it.
Yeah,
the
ones that dance around on the table.
Yeah, exactly. That's how poor this person was.
Like real red gum.
And you grabbed them too, right?
No, that one I wasn't touching. We would get them with like a napkin and put them up in front of our face. But then I was just telling Derek about this the other day. The nastiest shit I saw that came in was. I was telling him to make sure he puts a seatbelt on because there was a car that came in the upper driver's side, upper like 90 of the windshield. The guy wasn't wearing a seatbelt and he cracked his skull on the windshield. And when he pulled off the glass, scalp and hair and shit, like a chunk of it was maybe a 50 cent piece. And we would drive by and we would smell this just rant. We're like, what is that? And then finally we saw it, that little piece of flesh. It in the summer sun. Oh my God. It stunk so fucking bad.
I can imagine.
And then the other one we saw was someone that didn't have their seatbelt buckled. This one actually made me laugh. And they rear-ended someone and their two front teeth were stuck in the dashboard.
Oh,
and our pulled out like, fuck.
They wouldn't just try to take
that was nasty.
They wouldn't try to take those home. You go to
they
the
were embedded in there. I'm telling you.
You just show up at the wrecking yard. Excuse me, but I'm looking for some teeth.
I'm gonna get these two teeth out of that dash.
Get some vice grips and take my teeth.
Jesus.
Try to stick teeth back in.
I just would like my teeth back if anyone was cool with that.
It was the greatest job ever, though. Just when you're a teenager, because you used to break everything,
break burn
windows.
Yeah, I mean it is. You get a lot of aggression.
Drive forklifts, crush cars.
Yeah, I mean, bobcats. I got to do all that.
I was making pizzas.
We had
I wish I'm jealous of that. I want to learn how to make a pizza.
It was tight.
There was a time where I want to ask you too. All the employees that we worked with were all ex-cons. They seriously middle or like early 9th, 10th high school dropouts. And when I say ex-cons, not no murders, rapists or anything like that, but these guys were like grand theft and that shit, you know. And you know, this one idiot, this guy came in to buy a gas tank, and our boss is like, go up and cut that gas tank out of the car. So this guy goes up, and he just fires up the blowtorch, and he starts welding the bands off and stuff, and then somebody's yelling at him like, hey, man, hey, did you drain the gas? And he's like, what? And boom, it catches fire. So we call the fire department, of course. I'm in probably 8th grade at this time, maybe 9th grade, and it was a narrow dirt path to get up in, so the fire trucks weren't going to be able to get up there. And we had to call them two times. They finally get there and they're like, we can't, cause it was on a big like field, like acres on hills and shit. And he's like, we can't get up there. And we're like, well, what do we do? And they're like, well, we're just all going to sit here until the fucking thing blows up. And then we're going to have to fucking figure it out. Put it out. And this thing blew up. I was probably, I don't know, maybe 100 yards from it. It blew up. Not quite that much. And it lifted me up off the ground. It scared the fuck out of me. And my first thing was like, I never want to be in the military. I never want to be in the military. I mean, it lifted me up, pushed me, blew all the.
You feel that heat.
Heat. But the impact you feel like of something just lifting you up and pushing you back, like, whoa. And the pictures in the office were all crooked and shit like that. And this thing blew in the pieces and it went into the farm next to us in the field. And the rest of our day was just pulling all these pieces out to fucking recycle this thing. It was just. All the people there were just, I mean, they were idiots. That's what they were.
Well, I mean, I fell into that. I mean, when you're 16, I remember I set my leg on fire. We had to.
Speaking of idiots.
Yeah. I was an idiot. Well, you know, we would just punch the gas. You know, we just punch it with a big old steel rod just to drain
Wouldn't
the old
that
gas.
Spark
out.
It, though?
No. That would be fun. How I lit my leg on fire was I had been punching gas.
Lighter fluid.
Yeah. I've been punching gas tanks all day, and my jeans were just soaked in this shit. And then I had the cutting torch out, and I was tired. It was like 4:30 in the afternoon.
You might be the son of the guy to cut that gas tank.
And
out,
after,
man.
Yeah, it could be. The torch becomes part of your hand. You forget you got it, and I just like dropped it down on my leg and just set my pants on fire, flat out. And my buddy who I worked with was like, take them off, take them off, take them off. So we just, I literally had no pants. I had to drive home in my boxer shorts. My mom's like, what the hell did you do?
Did it burn your, did you get?
Oh yeah. I, like,
what
I,
happened to stop, drop, and roll?
It's gas. I don't know. You react how you react, man. I just get those pants off.
If they're soaked,
can.
It's just going to burn, I mean, so that gas is gone.
And this
that's
is like,
right
fire
move.
Needs air, man.
And I never washed these pants either. So it was like months of soaked gas. Just like, yeah. This is like a lighter wick. Yeah, it was awful. We had this one chick named Carol.
How many degree burn you get?
It wasn't bad. Oh. Just like a couple little blisters and stuff. We had this one lady named Carol who had a blow and go thing in her car, you know, for DUIs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And, she
classy
wore the same.
Chick, huh?
Oh, she's the best. She wore the same.
Any chance she drove a Camaro?
Oh, no, she had a Datsun like 500 Datsun. Or something like
already
that.
Already you like
500.
That.
500.
Datsun. And, holding on to that.
Oh
shit.
Yeah. And she had the blow and go installed in it. I guess she had to have it for life
somebody
or
brought
something.
This one in.
Right. She used to, oh my God. And she'd get hammered at work all the time. Now I know she would get hammered. At the time, I didn't know. She'd be like, oh, you know what? This goddamn thing is just broken again.
Smoke voice
yeah,
and shit.
Just,
yeah.
She had fake teeth,
yeah.
Too. She wore the same University of Washington Huskies shirt every single day.
Yeah, Brian, this goddamn thing. Can you just blow in it? It
oh.
Keeps going on.
She would have me blow in her blow and go thing. Like a good
and
oh,
lie to you, and lie to you like something's
I just
wrong
can't
with
get
it.
This, I think it's because I can't blow hard enough.
And I was like, "All right, Carol, I got it. Don't worry, Carol. Just blowing it." Then she just drive off.
That is tight. Good for her.
Yeah, she just got me. She knew I didn't know. I was like, "What is this thing?" She's like, "Ah, it's just a thing I gotta have for
man,
insurance."
I didn't know they had them all back then. Because I know now. I knew a guy that got one, and he would have like his kids blowing that shit. Because he wasn't allowed to have anything. And if he had one beer and that shit registered, it was over for his ass. So his kid would blow in the fucking thing. But after a while, it makes you do it again. Like,
yeah.
It's not like you can blow it and drive across the fucking country. Like, you have to blow, keep blowing.
You're driving across the intersection of the car, dying.
Guys can't stop, man. I can't stop, man. You don't know.
Someone's at a crosswalk. Hey, come here real quick.
Hey.
Come on. Be a hero.
Want to make $20?
I don't know what Carol did when she left, but I'm
Carol.
Assuming, Carol, same Huskies shirt every day.
We had a lady named Miss Hazel. She was an older lady. She did all the bookkeeping, and she just sat in this little tiny ass room with a typewriter and talked like this, and just chain smoked the whole fucking day. Jeez. You go in the office was a trailer, and
they're always a trailer.
Yeah, and it
a
is
real
just
office building
filled with smoke, and you're like, holy shit, it's too much.
Yeah, our trailer office was full of like smoke, random garbage, and then like Playboys. Every time a Playboy came out of a car, yeah. That was going right in the office. That was not to be thrown away.
Filed under imported.
Yeah. We could not recycle this. This makes the job worth it.
I think it's Heather Thomas from Fall Guy on this one.
I remember, like, I think the one came in the first Pam Anderson one. Someone found it in a trunk, and like there was like a fight over it. Like it had to be settled. Had to be settled by like the owner of the wrecking yard. It was like, I'll take it. And we're like, God. Damn it. We could have settled this out on the yard, like gentlemen.
On the yard. Then that's where your dad's settling. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Where are you? You have two brothers.
Yeah.
Where do you fall in?
I'm the oldest. I have two little brothers.
Oh, okay. Did they work at the junkyard as well?
No, I was the only one that had to work like manual labor jobs. I think so my parents knew that I just needed to get out of, like, I wasn't allowed to be in restaurants and stuff. I was just too much of an idiot.
Yeah.
I was like.
Did you go to college?
Yeah. Where'd play basketball, D3.
What?
There you go.
Laverne. Out in,
Laverne and Cheryl, you?
Oh God, that's a
that's
never been hit with that
yeah.
One.
I think I'm Laverne out here too. Yes.
I wish I could drop confetti right now on the table. The 1 million.
Taylor,
would
you play?
Me? Like I was a small forward shooter. I was a shooter. I didn't play well in college. I couldn't D up anybody.
No,
yeah, I should have listened.
Were you too skinny or what?
Listened. I was just too white. To be honest,
too white to D.
You know what's funny?
Too white for D3.
My
white.
Oh God, it's awful. You still got to keep people in front of you.
Yeah.
And I played in like these country farm leagues. I remember my grandfather's friend, the Catman, this old fisherman, right? Racist old fisherman saw me when I was like 12 years old and I was out shooting hoops. And he's like, Tom, you got to get him off the court. The blacks are just running the game. And my grandpa was like, hey, Catman, easy, Catman. He loves basketball.
Why is he the Catman?
Well,
he can
tell you
man.
Right now.
Catman, get your ass out here. Yeah, he just, and then he started going in, launching into how, like, black people have an extra muscle in their leg, and I'm on the verge of tears.
Oh, Jimmy the Greek did.
Yeah, and I'm on the verge of tears.
Oh, no.
And this old man is just like, I'm telling you, gotta get him into, like, hockey or football, and just all this stuff, all this racist stuff. And then I remember
because
when
black people don't play football?
Back then, they probably weren't playing a lot of them.
I don't know what
hockey on the island.
Let's be honest, Ryan. Catman didn't have a TV. Yeah. He just was going on gut
Catman
alone.
Didn't have much.
No. Catman.
Catman lived on the water and just he lived on crab and salmon.
Did he?
Yeah, that's what he did. Dungeness, though.
Go out and fuck him.
Well, you don't like Dungeness?
No, I don't dislike Dungeness.
But yeah, it's not the East Coast stuff.
It's not
the soft
shell. It's my bottom of the list of crabs.
Oh, really? I don't even think I've ever had
the King crab.
Well, King
up your
is
way
great.
Is fucking
yeah.
phenomenal.
King and Dungeness is the stuff that we lived on up there. But then I played my senior year. I played after I'd like committed to go to Laverne.
Committed? You have a ceremony and stuff like
yeah. this? I was like, well, it's a big deal when you come from high school as 400 kids. Someone's going to go off the island. Someone's getting off.
Totally.
Getting
totally.
Out.
And where is off the island? Like right off the island? Or is it like...
Oh, Laverne's down here. Laverne's out in the Inland Empire.
Oh, so that's the same Laverne then.
University
I said
Laverne.
They have a Laverne out here. Oh, I thought it was up there.
No, yeah,
you
went
to school in Laverne, California.
Yeah, man. I was like, I'm going to California. Shit. I'm going to live at the beach because I didn't know where the hell the Inland Empire was. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to learn how to surf.
Dude.
I played in a basketball tournament in Vegas my senior year, like after I was done. And, I got dunked on like 100 times. I got dunked on by Deshaun Stevenson, 6'4".
Damn.
I tried to block everything like an idiot because I had just never been around guys who could really like jump. Deshaun Stevenson dunked on me like 3 times in a game. And I was like, I'm going to get you one of these times and you're going to get clowned so hard by your team. And he would just jam on me. Once a guy threw it off the backboard and I was like, this guy missed a layup like an idiot. I'm going to try to get
Tomahawk
it. Yeah, he just jams on the top of me. And I did the white guy thing where you just get up as fast as you can, just inbound it, pretend like it didn't happen, just run down the floor and just get out of the scene.
When you went back, we were like, what was that on? Guys, there's a whole different level of this game off the ice.
I was like, guys, maybe we should have listened to Catman a little more. I know.
Catman might have known.
Where's Catman at?
Go to his
fishing shack. Let's hear what the Catman has to say. I'm starting to think my parents are bullshitting me.
He's probably like, listen, man, you got to put him into ice hockey and invest in Apple and Google.
Yeah.
Catman's all right, man.
Learn how to do HTML. He's also going to want to learn how to coordinate his show dates with Twitter. I doesn't know anything. Is yet I got a crystal ball.
That's something else.
WordPress.
Catman.
Learn how to blog.
So, let's talk about your dad a little bit here. Tell us, you know, we know he's in prison at this point, but what? Tell us the whole.
Get into it.
Tell us what happened from the beginning. What?
Well, armed robbery. You said to me, off mic, armed robbery.
Well, breaking and entering and hostage taking and all sorts of stuff. You only get 5 years for that. I don't know why everybody. So what happened, he was an attorney. He was actually.
You're kidding, by the way. There's no hostage taken.
No, not at all. It's actually like a really sad story because he was a really, really good. He's a good dude. Good heart. Could never say no to anybody. He was a civil rights attorney who would just take all these cases that.
Represented
the cat. I wanted it. I said it.
I had it.
Yeah, it was some sort of discrimination real estate suit.
To get it out.
He'd do all these like racial discrimination, all these things. And,
on the island?
No, Seattle. He worked out of Seattle, but he had an office on.
How far is Seattle from?
I mean, it takes you like an hour and a half.
Okay,
that's $20 a day, right there. I mean, you gotta understand something.
Is it tough? That's why he's in the predicament he's in right now. You run out of money.
$5,200 a year, man.
So he was doing all these cases that he couldn't afford, basically, and then he also had He had a leg injury in 2000 where he tore his entire quadricep.
Probably because he didn't have that extra muscle.
We were out welding on gas tanks, and my dad burned his leg off.
Wait a minute. So hold on a second. So he's working. You're saying he was taking on cases that he couldn't afford?
Yeah,
he was taking on
cases he couldn't afford. And he also had an oxy painkiller addiction
after
the leg injury. And then.
Now, why was he taking? Did he know at the time he. Was he hoping they'd pay off? Like, what was...
Okay. He just doesn't say no to people, and he...
So he saw the potential in the case.
Yeah, and the cases that he did settle were, like, pretty big, like, a lot of class actions and stuff that... Mm-hmm. But his overhead was always so high that he couldn't, you know, he barely get back to zero paying his staff back, and he was using money he wasn't supposed to be using. And then as the years progressed, the economy kind of took a dive, and he was doing all this, like, no one knew what he was up to, and he... the economy takes a dive and he starts to see that he's not going to make his money back. And one day he said he was down in California. He was visiting my brother. I was living in Boston at the time. Mm-hmm. And he hears an ESPN commercial for some bookie service and is like, this guy's like, you can make $1 million if you invest this much. And my dad was like, that's my ticket out. I'll just make $1 million in gambling. So then he started plummeting into gambling debt.
Shut up.
How was he doing? Was he going to tracks, online?
He was flying These guys were suckering him into flying to Vegas with like $50,000 in
cash. Bentley Tobler.
My roommate would meet him at the airport.
That's right. We're doing all right.
We didn't say that, by the way. And Tobler are roommates, and we were talking about earlier. Your dad should be cellmates. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. And he. So I didn't know anything about gambling. So actually, living with Brant, like he explained all this stuff to me. And
when I know your dad.
Yeah, he's like your dad was a we would call a whale. He would fly to Vegas with like $50,000 or Reno.
Your dad would?
Yeah, and just lose it all.
And where was he getting the money if he didn't have the money?
He was getting, that's what the illegal activity comes through. He was getting it out of his trust fund, which is set up for like structured settlements for his clients. And so he was using that money to try to make money back that he had used
to
pay for
cases.
Fund. Yeah, so it was like this never-ending cycle of just trying to make back the money he'd already used for law. And then eventually, so it was like 2010, he just was like, bankrupt. It's over.
So wait, how long did it go? How many years did he get away with?
He's not
get
really
away
sure.
with losing?
Well,
he's not really sure. It was a slow process. It was like
that?
5 or 6 years of like slowly go. But then he'd make a lot of money, pay it back.
Okay.
And as long as you don't miss your payments, you're fine.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So he got charged with mail fraud because he had to mail documents.
Put a stamp on upside down.
Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying?
Down the same way they got Capone.
Use FedEx. Was Capone mail fraud?
They got him on. I thought it was taxes or some bullshit. They got him on bullshit.
Basically, mail fraud is just like he cut a deal because he never said he wasn't guilty. He just said he was guilty.
Okay, so he's stealing from the company to gamble with hopes that he's going to make his money back plus pay the company back.
Well, he was just trying to pay the business back. He wasn't even trying to make money for himself at this point. He was so far in the hole. He was like $1.7 million in the hole. That's a big number.
That's a big number.
So how does this tie to mail fraud, though? What's the...
Well, you mailing documents. He was forging documents that he would have to say, like, you know, a client would authorize this withdrawal. He'd have to mail that. So then the feds, just to, like, get a good get an easy charge that kind of covers everything, they just go with mail fraud instead of like all the counts of this or that, because they just want to come to a resolution as quick as possible. So he didn't even fight being guilty. He just started immediately, was like, well, I'm guilty. It wasn't that easy. He had to go to rehab and a bunch of other stuff, but immediately started like basically working to find himself guilty in a federal court. It took like about a year and a half, 2 years, which is awful because it bankrupted my family completely.
Yeah.
And then I had already chosen a career in the lucrative field of stand-up comedy on the road. Man. So I'm kind of helpless to help anybody.
So let me ask you, the year and a half that this takes to finally get to court, is he out of prison then?
Yeah, he's out. He's living in my grandmother's basement.
Are you folks split?
Yeah. They divorced.
Because of this?
Well, they divorced actually because of the behaviors leading up to it.
Okay.
Like, you know, when you're drinking a bottle of vodka a day and taking painkillers.
Oh, he was drinking on top of that?
Yeah. I mean, because the stress was insane. I tell him this all the time when I visit him. I'm like, you know, we'll be talking. I was like, man, if you didn't go to prison, you'd be dead right now. Like, you would have died. There's no way you could live with that stress at 63 years old or whatever.
He's 63 now?
Yeah, yeah. And so my mom lost everything, and that was probably the most angering, and part that hurt all of us was that my mom is she's a 62-year-old lady who now has zero. She's got nothing.
Yeah.
And she was raising horses, and a lot of them are old and stuff, and she can't be doing that forever.
She raised Seabiscuit, man.
Yeah. Secretariat.
Secretariat came out of Wigby Island.
Catman was one of her employees, so it's really a tragedy for the whole island.
Hated
right
the
now.
Brown horses. Hated
hey,
the brown
no,
horses.
No, he was all about the white ones, the Palominos.
Mm-hmm. So all right. So a year and a half goes by. You all know this is coming, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, I was like flying.
And he's admitting guilt, so you know he's going to prison.
I was flying back and forth, constantly doing shows in Seattle, trying to like kind of counsel him through the whole process, because you know, helping him get documents together. I packed up his office for him. And that's why, I had the Google alert, because people
found
were
four knives.
Yeah, I was putting them right back in those DEA cars. I found these in the meth cars from years ago, all these weapons. I don't need them. It was like a really depressing thing. I mean, watching somebody go get sentenced is awful.
Ooh, yeah.
First of all, you're just sitting in a courtroom and it's just dead quiet. You can't hear anything.
And don't you find it also so like, just, God, I don't know what the word is. I've watched it before, and it's so just I mean, almost uneventful. They're like telling you, like, you're guilty and you're going to jail for like 7 years. And they say it like that.
Anticlimax?
You know, yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, very anticlimax. Well, not that I'm looking for huge drama and somebody's like, oh my God. But I mean, it's just like, your life is, shit's about to change for you. We're just going to say this over this microphone in here, Roland.
It's like you got two groups of people on each side of the courtroom just sitting there, and like the side that wants him to fry, basically, essentially, mm-hmm. is like rooting for the max. And then the side that isn't is like rooting for the minimum. And you're ever just like the tension is I've never experienced anything like it in my life. It's like watching someone die in front of you, but then have to walk away from it and then head to prison.
Now, the employees that worked there, did they also lose trust funds or whatever, any money at all?
He never missed paychecks, and that was kind of the thing. Like, there's a thing called commingled funds, which is how, like, you know, Bernie Madoff's clients or Bernie Madoff's employees didn't get in trouble for taking paychecks because they don't know what's going on. And some of that money is money earned, mm-hmm. and some of it's money stolen. It's all mixed together. You don't know what's what. So you just, it's called commingled funds, and they just put it on the one person who admitted guilt.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was, watching him go through all that stuff. And at the time, I was still, like, I had to do a show that night. I was booking shows so I could get back to Seattle. So I was like, about 2 years of my life.
You should have done the prisons, like the Johnny Cash prison circuit.
They try to get me booked now, and I'm like, you guys, I don't know if it's like really.
Do they really?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that.
So.
Wait, when's your dad out?
2015.
Oh, cool. Next year.
Like it'll be on the late end of 2015.
So what will he actually have ended up serving?
About three and a half out of five. But some of it's halfway house time. But I'll say there was a good 2 years where I was like in a fog of anger, just doing shows, probably an asshole to people. But just because
a lot of people told me.
Yeah, just been a huge dick, right?
Yeah, huge.
Just always rambling about mm-hmm. black people and their extra muscles. Just can't let go of it.
They call you Cat Man.
It's that vicious cycle. And then he actually went to prison in 2012.
Okay.
And that was like the worst dropping of a kid off at a kindergarten class.
So you actually listened in court to the judge say guilty sentence?
Oh, yeah. I listened to that. I listened to everybody go up there and take their shot at him.
Well, who got to get up and speak?
Just victims he owed money to. Could get up and just...
Just to build the case against him even that much
Well, the
more.
Case was
they
dead.
Were angry. I mean, you got to understand.
They're,
it hurts for you, but obviously they have to get up and say, listen.
But he's already saying he's guilty anyway, right?
Yeah, but they're just going up there to let him have it so the judge... basically, it's like, iron my shirt, man. I'm going down to courthouse today. It's for like two things. It's like, you know, to let the guy who wronged you have it, and then to let the judge know that you're pissed off about it. So some people come up and be like, hey, I forgive you. I know you're a good person. That's why I've gotten a lot of hate mail over the years from people who are like mad about my dad owing money. And I'm always like, every time I reply, I'm like, I get that, man. I'm pissed off. Like, he owes me money.
Yeah. It was my mom money.
Yeah, he owes all of us money. And like, he ruined my credit with gas cars.
You see that caravan I was driving around, pay for that myself.
That was Catman, $125. I couldn't fix the window.
Couldn't even.
I had to put a piece of wood on it.
Plywood.
So
I went with trash bag on mine, by the way.
So much classier.
Yeah.
And see, I didn't think about the fact that like the wood doesn't keep the moisture out.
Yeah.
It just kinda sucks it up. Mm. And then you just got frost.
Trash bag doesn't really either.
I mean, you got frost on the inside of your car in the morning. That's never a good sign for how well you're going to enjoy the drive.
So how often did you get to go visit your father in prison? And what was that like?
First, he was in Oregon and, rural Oregon in a work camp, which,
that's right away. That's where he went, a work camp.
Yeah. They sent him to a work camp because he's a nonviolent offender. He's just an old man. So they sent him to a work camp in Sheridan, Oregon, which was actually pretty mellow in prison standards.
Yeah, what are they doing on the work camp?
Nothing. They don't do. I mean, they make stuff out of leather. It's not like it's not leather. Like they're not like
made of sound, yeah. Matt.
And they make wallets. Good at this shit. You make wallets with hidden compartments in them. Where's your heroin pouch?
Is everyone like asking him to like get them off? Like
once that comes out, if you're gonna go,
that's
like,
right.
Hey man, take a look at this case.
If you're gonna go to prison,
I've been putting this together, man. You might look at my folder.
If you're gonna go to prison, be a lawyer. Just tell them you're a lawyer, and then
you're everyone's best friend.
Know enough
huh?
jargon to fake it.
Oh man.
So the first time visiting was it wasn't awful until I had to leave. Then it's like, you're leaving.
But I mean, what was it like going in? I mean, is it?
Well, the first time I went, what I'm saying, like the work camp was a lot more mellow. It's kind of like, I mean, yeah, there's razor wire and everything, but and the guards are dicks. But you just kind of walked in. It was like a lunchroom. Everyone's chilling. So just kind of dudes in green jumpsuits.
Just like a picnic
out.
With razor wire around.
Yeah,
it,
you know, we're all hanging out buying stuff from the vending machines.
So no, there's no, I mean, are we seeing tatted up guys?
Oh, and, yeah, there's
oh,
always
okay.
those.
All right.
I mean, but some of the guys have like earned their way in there
sure.
over years.
Good behavior. Okay.
A lot of people in for, medical marijuana growing. Cause oh. that, you will, don't ever do that. You will fuck it up eventually.
Yeah.
Some, one of your friends will take some of your extra weed that you grow and get busted driving across a state border, and then the feds can
make
get
a deal.
You. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Like, dudes are just, every guy my dad knows, that, like, every old dude in there was like, yeah, I was growing weed in Northern California, it's legal, but my buddy took it to Atlanta, and then he gets busted and then rolls on me, and now I'm in prison.
And that's what your dad should specialize in when he comes out.
Seriously.
Man.
Yeah, well, now he's a...
Will he be able to practice law? Or are they disbarred?
Certain states, but he's never going to do that. He doesn't want to. I mean, he could maybe like be a paralegal or the most overqualified okay. paralegal ever, but now he's
yeah,
in... yeah.
Okay, that's what I want to ask you next. You said the work camp wasn't that
work
bad.
Work camp so wasn't that bad.
How long
still,
was he there?
He was there for like 9 months, and then they transferred him...
from Oregon to where?
Now he's in Long Beach, but the transfer process...
Here?
Like,
that's tight.
Yeah, he's in Long Beach. I see him a lot.
It is
good.
I know what you mean.
Close. That's good.
What I'm
saying.
Hey, guys, my dad's going to be in prison right near me, man.
Kind of, but the prisons are a lot. They get harder the farther away from Oregon you get. It is. That is
Long
a good
Beach,
way to put it.
Long Beach doesn't sound like it's a cup of tea.
Well, okay, so he was in Oakland for like 6 weeks, which was awful.
Holy shit.
And the transport, so anyone who thinks like, so, you know, there's this big like club fed prison thing, you know. Yeah, I mean, some of the prisons like work camps aren't as bad. But when you get, when you're in transfer, you're in transfer with everybody.
Okay,
like,
but now why did they, why did he have to leave that?
They said health reasons. Who knows? It's just bureaucracy. Could be money. Could be, you know, prison's got to cut money. My dad was expensive because he had to go to specialists to get his heart looked at and stuff like that.
So then they go ahead and they transfer.
So they're like,
him.
Yo, let's get him to Long Beach eventually.
And now you're basically in general population when you're being transferred.
Yeah.
You're with everybody.
Yeah, you're like shackled to murderers
right.
and bikers and stuff and like,
yeah, it's panning out business cards. Like,
yeah, he shackled all these dudes going to Leavenworth for like life
Jeez.
And stuff. He when I saw him in Oakland,
I saw Con Air, man. I know what
you, you get it. You saw Buscemi. You
yeah,
know people in there for eating people and stuff, wearing masks. He was in this bus, shackled to all these like bikers and stuff. And when he got to Oakland, Oakland was like a prison where you like it's like buzzer, door slam, like going
yeah,
through metal detectors.
Yeah, right.
It was like lockup. You're like, oh, like I was like, oh shit, prison's real. Like my dad's experiencing this. Jesus, he's got some street cred now.
Yeah.
So I get there, and he's immediately like, hey guys, I need you to look up some private investigators in Oregon for me. Because he's like the first day he got there, he sat down at the wrong table. Like
this is in Oakland?
Yeah, in Oakland.
You like, visited him in Oakland?
Yeah.
Okay, can we stop for a second? Were you scared as fuck to go in there and visit him?
I was scared as fuck for him. Like
okay.
for you, you're like, you guys can't do anything to me. I'm here. I'm just not trying to like look at you long enough to try to. I always get scared
head,
if I like
you're not head faking it.
You look at that pussy. It's hard not to, man. You see some of these dudes, you just start zoning out. Like, I wonder what that guy's
right.
Like.
Yeah.
I wonder what he did.
Staring, yeah.
Or how hardcore this dude is. I'm like, I've never seen
test
a guy
him.
Like this.
Let me test this guy.
Huge dudes, like tattoos everywhere. You're like, oh, what
make
did he
eye
do?
Contact. Well, he made eye contact.
I'm trying to
he
read it. I'm trying to read the name off his uniform so I can look him up on the internet afterwards. And then I caught myself doing it one time. This guy looked at me all weird, and I was like, oh, don't get my dad stabbed right now.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I'm sitting
exactly.
here just zoning out. A bunch of white dudes just staring.
Is it Jimenez or Jimenez?
Never mind. How do you spell that? Oakland, well, yeah, I was scared for him. And then he was like, he needed all his private investigator stuff. And I'm like, what do you need that for? And he's like, oh, when I got here, he's like, I sat at the wrong lunch table. And this Latino gentleman was like, wanted to kill me. Oh yeah. My dad's like, he's so nice. He's like, this Latino gentleman, you know, he's on his way to Leavenworth for life. He wanted to kill me for sitting in his seat. And I was like, shut up. You're being not serious, right? Like that doesn't happen. That happens in like Oz, not like this. And he's like, yeah, but then the white supremacist gang like stood up for me, and
Jesus.
I was like, oh man,
this sounds like one of those commercials, like when you don't pay your cable bill, you X Y Z, and then you end up you sit in the wrong seat.
So
holy
so
shit,
I'm like,
that's
I'm,
the worst
and
people.
I'm
you
there,
aren't sticking. You're like, thanks.
And now my neck's starting to sweat a little bit, and I'm like, what? Like, are you gonna get what? No, this is not happening. Like, I saw you in a work camp a while ago. We were fine. We ate vending machine snacks. Now we're in this weird room in Oakland, and he's talking about
your dad's all tatted up and shit. Next
yeah, he's
time
just, like
you
trying to be like
G-Cred.
I was like, do it. Do
like,
what you gotta do, man. Do the old Edward Norton. Just one big old one.
Dad,
on
you didn't
chest.
Hear that letting you out.
What?
The white never- supremacists come over like, hey, man, the Catman sent us.
Hey. What if they came over and were like, hey, man,
you had it good at spades.
He's like, yeah, I got that shit, man.
Oh, yeah.
So they stick up for him. So now does he have to be part of them?
Well, no, now they know that he's an attorney and he's got like Northwest connections. And so they're like, and all these white supremacist dudes are convinced they're in for like the wrongfully convicted.
Wrongful
so,
racism.
Yeah, exactly. Like they were
wrongful
just saying
racism.
It. Like we were just saying it to each other, not other people. Seriously. We weren't acting on it. We were just setting up websites. So
taking donations.
Yeah. We were trying to become a nonprofit, really, if you want to know what we were up to. So he needs us to go look for Google some private investigators for the they're called the Brood. The gang was called the Brood in Oregon. And I was sitting there going like, yeah, man, whatever I gotta do. Holy shit, like what is going on?
Yeah.
And then the next week I saw him
often are you going?
Well, and when he was in Oakland, I just happened to be up there doing the San Francisco comedy competition at the time, which was a great way to get your head in the mind space for a competition, going out to a prison.
Totally.
You're like,
Jesus.
I'm really concerned with this contest I'm in. I'm out there just like, hey, Dad, if I make it into next week, I can come see you again. Kind of thing.
Hey, Brian, you want to go to Alcatraz?
Nah, yeah. Man, I'm going to Oakland.
I'm going to real occupied
right now.
Come on, dude. So then, like, the next week I went back and we gave him, some names of people he could tell these dudes to look up. And he was like, hey, how's your week going? And I was like, it's been pretty bad, man. This girl broke up with me. And he's like, oh, yeah, mine's been rough too. It's like, it's like we were in lockdown for 28 hours straight because there's some guy got killed in a unit next. I was like, all right, you know what? I think me and this girl will be all right. We'll make it fun.
How long was he in the Oakland?
5 weeks. Oakland for 5 weeks. And then they never tell you where you're going. Which made everybody crazy.
Damn, yeah.
But they don't want you to know because there are some bad people who would love to get that information. Yeah, like yeah. My dad, no one's trying to break my dad. It's not like prison break. We're not like waiting like on the side of the road, you know, in my Honda Civic. Like, get him, Pat. Let's stop the car.
Got the wood on the window.
Yeah, we don't even have any weapons.
It's so easy to find.
I'm like, maybe we could just con our way in
to
this bus.
Got fucking plywood on the window. We'll find him.
He doesn't know where he's going. So in the middle of the night, one night in Oakland, they just like 5 a.m., they put him in a van. And he's in a van with three dudes going to Leavenworth
and that's
just forever.
I was going to say, they have lifers.
Yeah, I mean,
there.
They got like max security. My dad's sitting there, it's like, oh my God, I'm going. My dad thinks he's like, I'm going to Leavenworth. He's like,
I'd be scared of that. He just reach over and start shanking
when
me.
When someone's going for life, well, they got nothing to lose.
They shackle you, your hands, your feet, and then they cuff your hands inside a steel box between your legs. Like, you can't move anything. It's like you're just shackled to a bus seat.
Damn.
So they drive to LAX from Oakland. Oh, no. First of all, he was in, I'm sorry. He went to Oakland. He went to Victorville for 28 hours.
Okay, yeah.
But they were in lockdown the whole time because of a fracas. Is what he said.
In Victorville?
Yeah, he didn't know what it was, but he said some sort of like prison fracas. So they got locked down, which he'd never been more happy for in his life to be locked down in Victorville because that's max security and they're all in together. He's like, I'm not even trying to walk out of this room.
How many cellmates did he have in these places?
Just one. One in the max securities. And no, the work camp is like a
right,
dorm
that's whatever.
Kind of thing.
Okay.
Just bunk beds and dorms, like six. Kind of, if you've seen Orange is the New Black, it's very like that. On Netflix.
There was one right near me. It was like a laundry camp when we grew up. And it
yeah.
was, those people are.
Is that where you did your laundry?
they do it real quick.
No, but those people are on their way out. So most.
Right.
Not most. Almost all of them don't fuck up because they don't want to go back. So that's a safer, obviously, place to
be. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's all the
but
minimum
Leavenworth,
security.
Leavenworth, fuck, yeah.
Yeah, so he's not, he wasn't trying to leave his cell at Victorville and he was just like, this is gonna be, he thought he was gonna be in Victorville for a couple of weeks and, or until he went somewhere else. Then in the middle of the night, they took him out in vans with some guys going
just
to Leavenworth.
One night.
Yeah, just in the middle of the night and he's just in a van driving down, the 15 and they get to LAX and they're out on the runway and there's like a Conair plane, like there. They take them all out of the van, and my dad thinks the guy, the guard, was like messing with him. The two guys get on the airplane. He's like, nah, Moot, you're going to this one. And they take him to a smaller van, and that's when he finds out he's going to Terminal Island, which is in Long Beach, which is an awful name.
Yeah, I was
going
to say Terminal Island.
Welcome to Terminal Island. Enjoy it.
Not really an island.
And where?
No,
he's like, I'm used to islands. I grew up on.
Oh, great. Got any crab boats? What can we do?
Terminal Island.
Terminal Island. It's down in San Pedro, Long Beach area. And
he's been there how long now? That's the
rest.
He's
been there for like 6 months now.
Nice place.
Okay. It's okay. It's still more prisony than
it's Long Beach.
Yes.
It's kind of prisony.
It's
yeah.
pretty prisony.
It's kind of prisony.
Is that
you
got to
go through
filled?
Like oh yeah, a lot of drug, a lot of weapons, a lot of like gang members doing bids.
Yeah,
he gets
bids.
Me up on all the lingo. But it's for when he got to Long Beach, the CO, the officer took him to a, he's like, here's a bunk. It just gave him a bunk. They got bunks there too. They do have some lockup cells for some of the other guys, but he's in a dorm kind of thing. And he goes in this room and this guy goes, nah, man. Nah. This black guy's like, nah. He's like, that's Double D's bunk.
And he goes, already.
And he's like, my dad's like, oh, okay.
I'll just stand over
who's
here.
Who's Double D?
I'll tell you who Double D is.
Yeah. Get your ass out of here, Double D. Let's have a push-up contest. So he comes, Double D, or he goes, the guy's like, oh, this is going to be bad for politics. My dad's like, hey, you know, whatever, I'll just go wherever. I'll just hang out here for now. They're like, nah, you're not even hanging out here for now. Then Double D comes in, and he's this, like, huge black dude.
I'm going to say, here come the white supremacists again. Like,
the brood's back. Brood. Cat man
heard,
again.
Heard you on the case up in Oregon.
So he, So Double D comes in, he's like, nah, sorry, this isn't going to work. You can't stay here. My dad's like, okay, I'll move wherever in the morning. He's like, nah, you're moving now. So my dad's like, oh, jeez. And they walk out in the hallway, and he's like, don't worry, you won't get in trouble. I'll tell the COs that I moved you. It's like, all right, whatever. And this guy's like the shot caller.
The CO ain't even fucking with Double D.
He's like the shot caller for the black inmate.
Oh, you moving him, Double D?
Yeah.
All right.
He literally walks down the hallway. He walks down the hallway to the other end of the dorm, and my dad said like a Latino gentleman comes out, and they're about the same size, big dudes, and they like broker a deal, and then he's like, all right, you're down on that end now. You're with the Mexicans.
Double D did it just like that. You're with the Mexicans.
And now he goes, my dad goes down, and now he's like on the Mexican end. And then the next day is when it gets great. The next day, he's talking about law with some guy who knew him from Oregon. They were transported like together at one point.
Oh, no
and,
shit. He's already got a body.
And he's got someone vouching for him. And
this Latino gentleman knows me.
Double D walks by and hears him talking about some sort of appeal that he's struggling with. And he's like, how do you know that? And the guy's like, oh, he's a lawyer. And he's like, oh, really? He has him fill out all the paperwork, like, help him out with his appeal. And then, the next day, he's back in the black inmate section.
Double D.
Double D took him back. Double D was like,
Double
nah,
D's
he's on. Yeah.
Shit.
Double D was like, nope. Well, I'm going to veto that trade we just had going through.
What's Double D in for? Do we know?
You know what my dad's never told me?
No. Get on that, would you?
Yeah, I should look it up. But now
is your dad working on getting him out or at least a reduced
sentence? They're just trying to help my dad just tries to help everybody get the services that they're entitled to, which is like your maximum amount of halfway house time.
I love that your dad can't say no to anyone to the point that he's still this way in prison.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he's at his lowest.
He knows like so many cigarettes right now. He's there. In the hall, man.
His job is great.
His whole cell's got like manila folders everywhere.
He's definitely got the jailhouse law thing going. His job that he gets paid for at the prison is cleaning up seagull shit like 15 minutes a day.
Oh, really?
He just walks around outside and just scrapes it up. Yeah.
Off of what?
What's he getting paid?
Oh, my God.
Colin, let's guess.
Yeah, guess. Just
I'll go with 6 cents an hour.
I can't remember the hourly. I'll give you guess the monthly wage.
Monthly?
Monthly?
Yeah, monthly for his.
How long does he
daily.
Get to go out there?
Well, he gets an hour. He said it only takes like 15 minutes.
I'll say 30 minimum. Bucks a month.
I'm going to go with 12.
Dollar a day.
$5.25 a month.
Ooh!
$5.25.
Yeah, figure out
that's what he's racking up right now.
Whoa!
Yeah. Scrape.
And
shit.
they take it for restitution for his victims, which is like, why don't you just let him buy stamps so you can write him like supportive letters? Right?
Yeah, I'm sorry,
this is
man.
Ridiculous.
Send cards.
When he was trying to watch the Seahawks game,
25.
You shouldn't be making a lot of money, but
well, you shouldn't. But
yeah,
I mean, if you're working, that's the only way. Because what's gonna? I mean, I'm not gonna go on a tirade, but if people go in jail, then they're first of all costing costing us money to have them in, and then they get out and they're broke, then how are they contributing when they get out?
Yo, you really gotta take the rehab, process,
so
on your own. You gotta do it on your own. Like, if want, and that's what he's really doing now. He does like he volunteers and he's doing like this resume writing class with these guys and like helping them learn how to like
put together their reentry plans, because you just get no help. There's just too many inmates and not enough people down there who care.
And why are they going to care about someone who's just in jail? That's the thing. Yeah. No one cares.
Dude, your dad could set up a rehabilitation on the way back in on the, when he's out. So
that's what we've been working
on. Feel
it. What? That dude's going to be in the hole when he gets out, right?
Not all of them, though.
Oh, he'll be in the hole forever. He won't be allowed to have money, but he'll be able to help people still.
But what's the 5 1/4? So that bullshit wage goes to these people that got ripped off?
Pretty much.
So, which is nothing, though. So they just get nothing.
I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't know if they actually, like, I don't think they're sending
anyone
a check.
I got 3 cents this month,
man. There
you go. 3 cents.
That'd be an embarrassing check.
Right, exactly. Where's he going to go when he's out, do you know?
Well, halfway house for a while.
Double
D got a fucking condo down
the... Don't worry. He's going to be taken care of. He's going to be taken care of. I think he's going to go back to Seattle for a bit. Cause that's where his case came out of, so he's gotta go back there for his halfway house time.
Yeah.
He's in that district. But eventually I think he's gonna move down here cause,
he likes Long Beach.
Yeah, he's just into it. He's Terminal Island. We wanna say that he loves the seagulls. He can't just leave the seagulls.
How much longer does he have? Till next year, he said? 2015?
Yeah, about a year and a half, June 2015. June could be a date. But then you never know.
Like, so where's your third brother?
San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
So, and I think he's just done with Washington, to be honest. He wants to get in. He really wants to get into, like, prison rehabilitation. So I've been helping him put together a workbook that puts, like, outlines, like, the
Who,
stuff.
Your dad?
Like, for inmates. Cause a lot of these inmates, they just don't know shit. Yeah. They go in there and they just, my dad's a really smart guy and he just helps. He's helping all these guys because it makes sense to him when he reads the guidelines.
Yeah.
He can explain it to everybody, but they don't explain it to you. And if you don't own your own rehabilitation process, it's just not going to happen for you.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to help him make a workbook that he can give to the inmates, that kind of lays out the process where it's like, start here. Do this. What do you want to do?
Got Double D pictures. He's the model and all of them.
You're going to be in your car one day. You and Tolbert are going to be sitting around like, dude, where's your shoulder? And all of a sudden,
yeah.
Go to the door. It's going to be Double D. Sup, player?
Yo,
Double D.
Your dad around?
He's like, I got you. I'm supposed to look out for you guys. So you're part of the crew now. This should be the greatest day of my life.
Jesus.
This is a ride. This is Stomach Shank. It's my boy. He's rolling the
stomach shank. He walked it off. He's fine. Just rub a little dirt on that.
Double D is running shit down in Long Beach.
Oh, for sure. My dad talks about it. Like,
You said you had two younger brothers?
Yeah.
Do you, your brothers visit him as well? Is everyone as close to him?
Yeah, we all do. I mean, the thing about
your mom doesn't, though.
No, she does, too.
Oh, she does?
Yeah. I mean, the problem was that he was like...
Rides a horse there, man.
Yeah, she's all about it. She brings it right in. I'm just going to yes and your horse joke.
Yeah, of course. Why not?
Take a shot at my mom and her 85-year-old horse.
The one that won't stay in the tent.
She's 62.
The kitchen.
I'm on point.
That's all she's got left, Ryan, is her old horses. She feeds carrots through the kitchen window.
I'm sorry.
No, she visits him. Because the thing is, when somebody goes to prison for something like... they're sorry for it, and he had all these other addiction problems, and he's really, really making an effort to change his life and be positive from here on out. It's like, all you can be is supportive. I mean, I've wrestled with anger over the whole thing a lot, which is a difficult thing to do.
Anger always wins, man.
Yeah, you just gotta let it go. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, why?
You said you wrestled with it. I'm like, watch out, man. That anger will get you. Everybody.
I didn't get it.
Anger.
I
mean,
yes,
and
your wrestling anger joke.
That's why I gave up road rage for New Year's, man.
Got to do it, man. We got a kid now. You can't just have one in the
bank. I know. That's why I did it. I was like, I got to give it up. I had a slight one almost, but I haven't. I gave up that texting, a couple other things. Anyway, go ahead.
But your dad is what they preach about the prison system. You go to prison, you pay your dues, you do your time, and you rehabilitate.
Don't pay all.
You try.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Pay $5.25.
You don't. Listen, there's no paying back.
But I mean, that's what they you know preach about the prison system is the rehabilitation back into society. And your dad is doing what they're asking of him to do. So, yeah, he fucked up, what he did
Shawshank
was shitty.
The rehabilitation ain't as easy as it sounds.
Well, no, it's a lot of tar and roofs.
Still, it seems like your dad is on the right path now.
He's working hard at it. Listen, we'll all be dealing with it forever. Like, you know.
Not us.
You guys are part of this now.
No, man.
Double D knows he's going
to
hit somehow.
Can he listen to, can your dad, I mean, I remember.
Can he listen to the Crafties?
Your dad got to watch you on TV.
Yeah. He saw me on that.
Tell me about that.
A really cool thing. He, I remember one time he told me, this is back in like when he was in Oregon.
he was like, hey, Brian, can you get on that, that Comedy Central show hosted by the big Mexican guy? I was like, Gabriel Iglesias? He's like, yeah. He's like, man, the guys here love that show. Could you get on that show? They would just think it's the coolest. And I was like, oh, my.
The Latino gentleman here love that show.
My TV credits are now helping your street cred. So they get Access Live, or Access TV, and I did the Gotham Live taping, which was on his birthday, too.
No.
So, yes,
way.
February 6th on his birthday. It was a really,
that's
really
tight,
cool thing to do, and he got to watch
that's
it.
That's tight.
They had a guard that's been real cool to him. Was like, they found the channel, and they did a TV room thing, and
Double D put a fucking satellite dish up.
Like, shut your mouth! Shut up!
No,
Mute's on TV.
Who did all the dudes go in there and watch too?
Yeah, a bunch of them did. Yeah, a bunch of them that, like, you know, my dad says some guys just, you look at him and you're like, this dude's gonna hate me forever. Like this old, like, he just, you're not gonna be friends in prison with.
Yeah,
you're gonna
have
a few here and there, and you're gonna be cordial with everybody because nobody wants to get thrown in the hole or like bumped up to medium security. But you know, you have a few friends come and hang out. It's funny because he does. He's like already got buddies. He's like, I'm gonna try to meet up with this guy when I get out. I'm like, I don't know if you guys are allowed to do that, right? Is that cool? Also, man, you grounded me from seeing friends in the summertime in high school. I don't think I'm just gonna let you walk out of prison, start hanging out with all these dudes in for growing medical marijuana.
So he gets to see you in there, and they're all like watching with him. And
yeah,
shit.
Yeah,
that
it was really
cool.
That's tight.
On his birthday.
Yeah.
Who
so
else was on the show? I bet
it was Jason Lawhead was on the show. Joe Matarese and
this wasn't long ago, right?
Someone else. Yeah, it was like 3 weeks.
Brian, okay, we all thought you were great, but that Joe Matarese.
No. Well, I was
hope you practice law better than your son does comedy.
Yeah. Man, I'm sure they love my school picture, my school pictures bit in the prison. Oh, we really related to that. A bunch of old men in prison for murder. You know what? You can get we have a family picture from prison.
Come on.
I swear to God.
They let you take one?
Well, then, no, they take it for you.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They allow you to go. How do you do it?
$5.25.
Yeah. That's your whole month right there. You're going to be cleaning up seagull shit and extra shifts for that. So we have one. We have a family picture. My mom made him do it. My dad was like, never. I'll never get a picture in prison. My mom was like, when we all did a family visit, mom's like, oh, you are getting a family picture.
I lost my house.
Yeah.
I lost my
house. I lost everything.
I want a damn picture.
And then she said,
and my marriage.
Your dad made a saddle, man.
And this is how, like, how cool my mom's become with this whole thing as far as, like, just accepting as part of our family, chemistry, is she sent out, like, color copies of that picture to like people she thinks would think it's funny.
What is set the scene? What does it look like?
It's like, it's great. They have a backdrop, usually just like a curtain. But for Christmas, they had like one that had like some like awful, like, spray painted Christmas trees, like, on the backdrop for the holiday pictures, right?
Because his dad's picking up
Double D's doing the backdrop.
Yeah, yeah. He's an art. Oh, they got some street artists in there.
I got a nephew who's good with spray cans.
Yeah, they got good. They're good at it. So he like, and we just sit there, we stood in front of this thing and the guy just took a picture. I wanted to try to do like a super gangstery pose, like one of those old, like, 80s ones where I was just like this, throwing up something. And I was like, I don't need to get him in trouble. Like, you throw up some dude's gang
sign. Is he
sign.
In his prison?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, they don't let you put on it. They don't even put on a tuxedo and a top hat.
I didn't know if they had a fake, like, Velcro suit.
I mean, this guy thinks that you put your head through a hole in the wall with, like, a muscle man body paint on it.
Is it an orange jumpsuit?
It's brown.
Oh, it's brown.
Yeah, yeah, brown. Which they won't let you wear khaki in because they think, like, I guess it makes sense, but they don't let you wear anything khaki in to visit if you're a man because they don't want you, like, switching places.
Oh.
Which I can't imagine anyone would do that.
Like, hey, Dad, you
hey,
tied up.
I'll give you a week. You want a week on the
he
outside?
He took my doctor.
I'll do a week
he
for you,
He took my doctor.
I'll do a week for you. You go out there, man. You live it up. You promise you'll come back next Monday and switch with me?
Jesus.
So I have a yet another question for you.
Yeah.
This is also fucking fascinating to me. That your mom, that I was not expecting that. I just assumed that they split and never spoke again.
She's
like, fuck him.
They've had their ups and downs, but she, like all of us.
A lot of downs the last few years.
Double D's been counseling them. What is there any chance of them rekindling when he gets out? Is there a reunion coming? Do you think it could happen? Like,
are you hosting a show right now?
I want to know.
This guy is like,
do you not want to know?
Of course. I mean,
I don't think so. Maybe. You know what? That's hard to say.
She's done her enough already.
Yeah, I mean,
that's amazing.
They're still very close. Like, she supports him, like, through this whole process and, like, she supports his rehabilitation. She talks to him on the phone.
Support him through
letters. Yeah, all of it.
All the processes.
the biggest process you can go through.
Due process.
She,
I don't know, you know? I don't know. I told her from day one, I was like, hey, if you just want to go out and meet a dude, get out of here.
Yeah.
Scram, lady!
Scram, lady!
Don't look back!
Well, you're tight with her, right? Because you're always going home.
Yeah,
yeah,
I go home a lot. Yeah, I worry about her because she's, you know, lived by herself. She's in her 60s. She got horses.
And she lives on a
muddy
farm?
Or,
yeah.
She's got tractors and all sorts of stuff.
She drives them?
Yo, yeah. Yeah, we've been driving tractors forever. I got sent home in high school for driving the tractor to school.
Wait, what kind of tractor?
It's a Kubota, like with a big back
with
blade.
A buck. Did you have a buck on the
buck
front?
On the front for sure. I put a car stereo
in
the tractor.
So my brother was.
Yeah, we had to carry him around. I put a car stereo in the tractor. It was the greatest day of my high school life. Just
did
rolling,
it have a cabin?
Rolling in. Yeah, it had a wall.
It wasn't
open
just open.
Cabin.
Yeah,
open
yeah.
cabin. And I was rolling into high school just listening to Ain't Nothing But a G Thing, just like with the bucket just going up and down.
Shut
like into
up.
My high school, and I got immediately sent home. I like maybe
just
got
turn
20,
around
20
turn
feet
around and take it back.
20 feet in the front door.
Before you do, can you get that tree stump up? We got a little work.
Is that a mower on the back? Could you go hit the football field for us right quick?
We got a game Friday night.
That's looking pretty rough out there. So yeah, no, she's still on the farm, so I try to get back and like, you know, she needs to get hay, fill the barn full of hay, which is, just an awful job. So.
How many horses?
Now she's only got like 5 or 6.
Damn, is that
five
not
or
a lot
six?
Of horses?
What does she do
with
them? She sells them?
Well, she did. I mean, the whole thing is when they lost, when we lost the bigger farm, the one that she lived on, mm-hmm. and had to move her to this small
where you
one.
Grew up?
Yeah, the one I grew up in, we lost that.
How big are we talking this farm?
Like
how many horses?
Seven acres, and at times we had like 15, 16 probably.
Damn.
And she had like, we had a round pen, she would train them. And
oh, okay,
we had,
gotcha.
They, you know, we had baby horses at times. Basically, I didn't know shit about it. I just did,
Should they call them ponies?
Yeah, we had a couple baby ponies.
Baby horses.
Did you ever watch the delivery of a horse?
No, I didn't, but I saw it right after it happened, and it was just, I've never seen a delivery. Have you?
No.
Now? You didn't see see the delivery?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I couldn't deal with
well,
it.
Well, I ain't calling that out of the back room right now.
Oh, C-section?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to be around for that for. What are you going to... Hey, are you doing that right?
My doctor said to Kate right before, he's like, so Jay, he goes, what you'll do is you'll have the knife and you're just going to cut right
out. Oh, yeah.
Kate was like, he is not cutting it. And I'm like, are you out of your mind? Do you think he's serious at all?
You are?
That's funny, man.
Because I got a knife from these fucking cars I found in the junkyard years ago.
Be a witness or a piece of evidence. So I try to get up there as much as I can to help her out because, you know,
and what about your bros?
They do too, but the good part about being a comedian is you're so flexible.
Yeah, I know.
You could be anywhere or nowhere. It just depends on the awful gigs you're willing to take.
Yeah, no kidding.
All over the place. So, you know, my brother Killing works at a nonprofit in San Francisco, so he's got to stick around. And Patrick, my other brother's an actor, so he's always here for commercial auditions and all sorts of nonsense. So me, I was just flexible. I'd just be back all the time, you know, stacking bales, driving tractors around, pulling
a lot
crap.
A lot of bales going on in your family.
Your
dad didn't make that.
Fucking asshole laughing at his own joke.
You didn't even get it out of your mouth.
Seriously,
all the way.
Not even out. He's already laughing at himself.
Oh, now I get it. Son and once you I let you reiterate it for a second.
Oh. Well, we are about out of time, man. This has been a lot of fucking fun. Thank you for sharing. I know that isn't easy.
Yeah,
I know
man.
It's,
seriously.
It really is. And you know what? Good for your dad. I mean, I know, like I said before, it was... look. The guy sounds like he's doing the right thing where he's supposed to be.
He's on his way. I mean,
he's in prison. He didn't kill anybody. Yes, he ruined some lives.
Yeah, he might take someone out. Him and Double D.
He might hold somebody's legs down.
He's definitely going to have to help hide some evidence, I'm sure, with that. I don't think he's doing any killing, but.
Well, at least he's doing what he's supposed to be doing where he is. Let's just say that.
Yeah,
so.
No, it's awesome, man. So you were telling me off mic, and I think mm-hmm. you tried to get into a little bit about your dad watching Seahawks.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to hear that.
The NFL football, first of all, is the biggest deal in prisons ever. Like, a lot of betting, which he stays away from. He says he's already learned his lesson.
I hope he does.
But
dude's, 5 1/4, he puts it all on.
Dudes will bet salmon packets, like this awful food you get from the commissary and stuff. So the Seahawks run this year was a huge for him. So,
huge.
Like, so a Thursday night football, the first week.
So hang on. They get the watch?
Oh, yeah.
For real?
NFL football for sure.
They get the package, man.
But
they got Sunday ticket. They got Access TV. Of course they
got the red zone
channel, man. They get Access. I don't even get Access.
I would think
got a better cable package than I do.
I would think that. Guys that get riled up, you know what I mean? That just seems to me to be a way to incite people to riot and fight and shit when they're rooting, especially for like the Raiders.
Listen,
and shit,
they've had TV taken
incite
away.
Them?
Yeah, man. Incite a riot.
Oh, I didn't know.
Well, people get fired up about it. And they've had TV taken away, but like, that's the thing they just don't, everyone, like NFL football, like,
even no matter who you like, just don't fight. Because if they take it away, you got nothing. Oh,
okay, so you can talk shit. But
you'll get murdered. If you are the guy who's responsible for getting NFL yanked, it's a wrap. You go into protective custody forever. So the first Thursday he's in the Terminal Island, the Seahawks are playing on Thursday Night Football. And he's like, yeah, I can go watch Thursday Night Football. This is great. And he goes into the white inmates.
I told you this is tight.
Yeah, it's the tightest thing ever. He's so excited. He goes into the white inmates TV room, right? Because they do have TV rooms where, like, you know, races all post up.
Oh, so this is before he's tight with Double D.
Nah, he's still tight with Double D, but there's still rules you can't break. Like, you just go with your dudes to the TV rooms. And also, like, he said, like, the Mexican TV room is always on.
Like football?
Nah, I saw some crazy shit with, like the Weather Channel with like some lady in a bikini and stuff. You know, like that very stereotypical, shot, like, are you like, serious? Oh, like football, this exists. Yeah. So he goes in the white TV room and this white inmate's like, he's like, nah, man, what are you in for? And he's like, oh, mail fraud. And the guy's like, prove you're not a chomo. My dad's like, what is a chomo? Child molester. Oh, they call him chomo. Fuck,
chomo. Shit.
And my dad's like, he's telling me his story and he's like offended. He's like, child molester? Why would you think I'm a child molester? I was like, you're a 60-plus-year-old white man. Oh. We kind of got the market cornered on that.
Seriously.
As far as like...
And that does not play in jail.
So they're
didn't
like...
Didn't even think of that.
Yeah, so they're like...
Is he gray hair?
Oh, and he had a shaved head, too, at the time.
Oh, man.
He had a shaved head, too, at the time, because this guy in Oakland messed up his hair and just shaved it bald. So I was like...
What was he trying to put designs in his
He was trying to give him a fade. He was trying to give him a fade.
Shut the fuck.
Because he just kept fading it until it was gone. Like,
Dad's getting jet.
It was edge.
Jailhouse.
Prison cut.
It's got to be one of the worst cuts you can get.
It was edged up all perfectly. Like, he looked like Eminem. Like, it was just, like, really, really tight. Really tight haircut. But it did not play well with the whole chomo look. Yeah. And he had a mustache, too. I was like, Dad, this is it couldn't be worse for you. So he's like,
how do you prove you're not?
So that's the thing. He had his charging documents, which you're not supposed to have, but he had them with him still from his transfer. So he's like, oh, I'll just go back and get these. And then he's going back to his locker in his dorm spot, and he's like, you know what, man? I don't need to prove anything to these guys.
Okay.
I was like, I don't need to sit here and deal with this. I'm not a child molester. I am in for mail fraud. And then he goes, then I had a moment where I was like, you know, why don't I just prove to everyone that I'm not a child molester? I'll just
good,
do this one
good
time.
Moment of clarity.
I'll just prove it one time. And I was like, yeah, that's not the time you want to be like, I'm going to stick up for myself right now and not show you guys anything. I was like, why are you trying to stick up for yourself
still
right now?
Still taking stands, this guy. Let me learn a lesson.
He's like, you know what? It's not fair what you're doing in here. So what he was saying.
How Marshawn running? Hurry up. Those documents. Man.
When he said the only game he didn't
so
watch.
So wait, what happened? He went and got the documents?
Yeah, got documents, got to watch the game. Showed that he was
they
not
like,
a child molester.
Right,
they're like,
the
you're cool
room.
Now. You're allowed in the white TV room. He said the only game he didn't.
I just went and got Double D. And be like, Double D, go tell these motherfuckers.
And Double D be like, yeah, tell all of us you're not a child molester.
Oh, he didn't know at that point either.
Well,
he
never got to that point because he was just excited about the free legal advice. But he said the only game he didn't watch, cause he just couldn't was the Niners Seahawks NFC Championship game because like that prison is resoundingly Niners fans.
Oof. And that was pretty, that was the Super Bowl, really.
Yeah. And so he was like, I didn't watch it cause I didn't really want, he's like, there's two other Seattle fans in here and I didn't really want to be.
And one's a chomo.
Yeah, he's not even allowed to be in there.
I don't want to be around that cat.
My dad's in there. Prove you're not a child. Prove it. It's part of the game now. It's part of the game,
man.
So it's funny, but there was, man. Football brings those guys together. They literally live all week long just talking about the games.
I bet, dude. I bet baseball season like fuck this.
Too many, too many games. It's like real life. We all get baseball. We're like
Thank you. And one more time, would you please promote away your Twitter, website, all that stuff?
Moot Points at Moot Points, Twitter, Moot Comedy, website. And,
if you're up in the Tacoma area, what are the dates?
March 28th to 30th.
Go check out the recording.
And you can plug my dad's Twitter, Pete for Freedom.
For real?
Kidding, dude.
Oh, man.
I got excited, bro.
I was stoked. Like, we're going to start a revolution
Pete for
is
freedom.
No. Pete Moot.
Pete Moot, yeah.
Pete Moot, somebody that heard that is definitely going to take that Twitter and hit you with
Pete
it.
For Freedom?
Pete for Freedom.
Someone should buy that off the GoDaddy link.
Come on, guys. And raise the money, $5.25 a month. If you can beat that, then you're already doing better than in the federal system.
You can. I'm Jay Larson Comedy on Twitter, jlarsoncomedy.com, Instagram, Facebook. You can also follow me at Double D.
You know what? If it, go to DoubleD.com right now. It's going to have nothing to do with a large black inmate.
No.
I am Ryan Sickler on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.